Well, as you saw, modern technology is a great thing when it works. But when we rely on it to work, it doesn't always work. And Pastor Miller brought that video up probably at 7 o'clock this morning, and it kind of sat there and coasted and decided it didn't want to coast anymore. So we were able just to get it to run really quickly again. Chick, could you bring your chair down and set it right down there? Yeah, right in the front there for... I'll need it in a few minutes. Not that I need it, but for an illustration. As I was said earlier, I believe that the church is... God is calling the church to move in a new and fresh direction. Now, understand that there's nothing new under the sun, so it's not new to God. And He had planned it all along, but He has wants us to move in a direction that may be contrary to what we were raised. And I'm going to say that when Pastor Luke had to leave the Mennonite, the Old Order Church, the Black Bumper Church, and move into another part of ministry, actually move into ministry, it wasn't what he thought it was going to be because it was nothing like what he had come out of. And then as we moved into the 60s and the 70s and we felt this God moving in certain ways and I was active in the Jesus Ministries and that part and then I came to Harrisburg and got involved in Full Gospel Businessmen. And that was totally different. And then that ran its course, and along with Women's Aglow and various organizations. And now I think we're waiting for a new wave of what God is going to pour out, and He's changing my mindset. And I will say this, I knew I was in trouble this morning. My wife gets up about 3 hours before I do. And so I was just kind of rousing this morning, and she came in the bedroom and she said, I dug out one of my dad's old books and was looking at the scripture that you're going to use this morning. And then I knew, you know, that I had to stop and think about what she was going to say. So we discussed what she had read and how it pertains to where we're headed today. And then I thought it was over with. And then as we were getting ready to get in the car, she says, I'm not taking my little Bible this morning. I'm bringing the 40-pounder. You know, that so that I can really get into making sure what you're saying is... Well, she didn't say that. But she did bring... She dug out the big one. And so we kind of discussed that on the way this morning. If you think about something that Pastor Mel just said, and things that were said on Wednesday night here, for those that were here, if you listen to the audio, a theme starts to rise up within that. And understand this, that the Scriptures, I was sharing with Brother Ben this morning, that the Scriptures have one purpose. And one purpose only, to lead us to Jesus Christ. We have a tendency to say, if you want to know how to live, read the Scriptures. If you want to know how to live, go to Jesus. The closer you get to Him in the Scripture, the closer you'll get to the answers that you need to live by. Now here's the question. If we have 5,000 people come to Grace Chapel on a Sunday, and they're here for 2 hours, and they go home, and nothing happens in their neighborhood, was it a waste of 2 hours? Are they any different than the Rotary Club, or the Kiwanis Club, or the Moose? If they didn't change their neighborhood. Pastor Mel made the comment, how many are in full-time ministry? Are you in ministry in your neighborhood? And we wonder why the country is in the shape it's in. Seth, bring that, Mark 16, 16 and 17. I want to key on the 17th verse. Go to the 17th verse right now. All right, look at this. And these signs shall follow that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils and speak in other tongues. Go to 18. And they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Who's he talking to? Us. He was talking to his disciples. And if you remember a couple weeks ago when I had previously said that they had gone out and had this great revival, but then it stopped. And Jesus had to kind of come down on them pretty hard about that. Let's look at Matthew 11, the next one. Matthew 11, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. Go to 21. Woe to Chorazin, woe to Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. And the next one says that if we go to, but I say unto you, it shall be more tolerant for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. What he is saying there is that had there been these miracles that were in these other two cities, had been in the other three cities, they would have lived. He gave them, these cities had revival. There were miracles taking place, but they kept it to themselves. They did not take it out to the other cities and the other towns. And I want you just to think about that part. Just hold that in the back of your mind, because we're going to come back to that in a few minutes. What I want to do is go to John 5 and verse 1 to 4. And I want you to listen to this. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went out to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep's Gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, which means House of Mercy, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the move of the water. For an angel went down on a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. And whoever stepped in first into that water was made well, whoever of every disease he had. I'm going to do a little illustration here. Now, if we were to look, and you don't need to bring this up, but in John 21, 25, that verse says that, John says, if I were to write everything that Jesus did, he says, I believe it would, the whole world couldn't hold. So you have to understand that Jesus did more than what we read in the Scriptures. Not just a little bit more, a whole lot more. Because if John said, if I could write it, he wouldn't live long enough to write everything that to explain what Jesus did and to talk about it. So that means that in the 200 or 300, 400 pages that are between Matthew and Revelation, God took just a few pages of all of those things. So it must be that every word is important that's in there. And we're going to look at that this morning. So here's what I want to do. Pastor Luke, I want you to come down and sit in this chair. Understand And I want you to know that I'm breaking my own cardinal rule, and I'm going to stand down here for a minute. I'm always yelling at Pastor Mel to stay up there in the light, but in that, I want you to think about in that scripture we just read, it said that at the pool of Bethesda there were five porches, porticos. And I could think of it. That's really an important, very important thing. We're going to say those porticos is where everybody who was sick came and sat under. It was their shelter. It was their protection. It's where they would stay until the water was, and it's where people would come and help them if they needed help into the pool. It was the fivefold ministries in there. All right? There was, Justin, come on down here. There was the apostle. There was the prophet. Come and stand right. Sir, Steve. Come down here, but just stay right there a minute. Come on over here on this side. There was the evangelist. There was the pastor. Larry. And there was the teacher. And they encircled, put a circle right around here. They encircled the pool. Okay? So when the sick would come and lay under this protection, they would, that was what they were for. The fivefold ministry, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, we put those in position within our congregation, within our church, as our protection, our comfort, our healer, our educator, everything that we are supposed to do. That's what the fivefold ministry does. But we want to look at some of this fivefold ministry. God is changing how we look at this ministry. And Jeannie, come on down here. Here we have the Pool of Bethesda. We have it here every Sunday. We have the fivefold ministry here. We invite people to come to the altar. And so, all of a sudden, look at this. The water's been stirred. But by the time she gets here, it's too late. She missed the healing. Because only one person, you can sit right there. Because you're going to have to sit there who knows how long. Because we don't know when the angel's going to come and stir that water again. So they're going to comfort you, but they have to wait for the Spirit to move on that water before you can get healed. That's the fivefold. And we come every Sunday to church. We hang out here. We don't see anything happening. We go home. We're still sick. We're still hurting. So, you guys can all go sit. We're going to go. We'll continue on this. If you can help the apostle back to his chair. Thank you, Gene. You can go back now. Your healing's coming. Anyway, all right, so let's look at some of these ministries here. The apostle is not a Jesus Christian word, okay? Just so you know that. The Roman and Greek Empire had it before Jesus did. He just used it in exactly the same way they did, but he brought it into the spiritual light. The Roman Empire, we'll stay away from the Greek Empire. The Greeks had it first, the Romans had it second, but we understand the Roman Empire first. The Roman Empire, the emperor would send the army out to capture a city. Now, it was kind of funny because with Brother Wilson here talking about Elizabethtown attacking Middletown or Hershey attacking Lebanon, that's kind of what it, you know, they didn't fight like we did, like we do today. But they went in, they would go out and capture a city. But they learned, both the Greeks and the Romans learned that just capturing a city wasn't enough. If Hershey captures Lebanon and it stays Lebanon, what good is it to Hershey? The Roman Empire, the Romans needed to convert that city, not only capture it, but convert it and Romanize it, so that when the emperor could go visit that other city, he would be just at home in that city as he was back in his own original city. And so what they would do after they captured the city, the emperor would go to his, and he would have his army generals and his leaders, and he would pick out one. And believe it or not, you know what he called that one? An apostle. Apostle means to send, to go. And that general was an apostle. And he would choose in his army a teacher, a preacher, an evangelist, and a prophet. He didn't call them that. What they would do is they would go back to the city and they would take over the educational department, the law enforcement department, the churches, and they would put their people out of this fivefold ministry that they would take. This apostle would take these people with him, and they would colonize and they would Romanize the city, so that over a period of time, that city would be comfortable to the emperor. Right? Then along comes Jesus. Now he had been teaching his disciples. He called his disciples. They were being taught. And suddenly he starts promoting them from learners to learned. And he called them apostles. When they move from being learned, taught, to being the teacher, they became the apostles. All right? So, what we want to look at then is, are we still living, as you think about what I just said about what the apostle's job is to do, it's not to sit here in the pew. He's sent out. All right, the evangelist goes out and evangelizes the city. And the apostle and the fivefold ministry go out and they make that city Christ-like. Or that group of people. Or that neighborhood. Or your neighbor. Or my neighbor. We don't just get them. One of Billy Graham's biggest concerns when he started in his crusade was, I can get them down here and get them saved, but that's the end of what I can do. It's up to the local church to take them and nurture them and make them Christ-like in their education, in their prayer life, in everything that they do. So I believe that God is moving us in the 21st century from the Pool of Bethesda to Ezekiel's River. Understand, if we look at the Pool of Bethesda and its philosophy and its theology, maybe Jeannie will get healed and maybe she won't, because she may not get down here fast enough. And only one or two are going to get healed. We think that church is where Pastor Mel is, and that for God to, for us to get saved, we have to be in church. For us to get healed, we have to be in church. For us to have the blind, the eyes up, we have to be in church. We're going to look at the river of Ezekiel and see whether or not in the 21st century that's changing. And I believe, Justin, I believe that God is changing your prophetic ministry. I saw it in a Facebook thing that you put out, and last Sunday morning, that you're going to begin to prophesy in conversational language, not in the language that we are traditionally think prophets prophesy in. You'll walk into a restaurant, or somebody will walk into your bed and breakfast, and through the conversation that you have with them, they will be touched, and they will be healed. They will be saved, whatever their need is, because God's going to reveal it to you, but it will be in not thus says the Lord, but how are you doing today? God wants to touch you. And when you, they leave and you say, God bless you richly, that's a prophetic word that you're giving to them, and it's going to be in conversational form. I believe that God is going to raise up apostles in here different than what we have ever thought we could do. Let's look at, let's go to Ezekiel. And the 47th chapter. Now you have to understand in the 46th chapter, Ben, the 46th chapter is about worship. And it leads us into the 47th chapter. Now understand, this is a vision. And we're going to claim this vision for Grace Chapel for right now. Let's read this. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. Now, I want you to understand the pool of Bethesda was on the east gate of the temple. All right? So east has something to do here. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around to the outside of the outer gateway that faced east. And there was water running out of the right side. Our church sets east and west, south and north. All right, now think about this. God's going to take us out that door, that's north, take us around to there, that's east, and he says, now look to the south. And we look to the south, and there's water running out underneath the gym floor, down the driveway toward the turnpike and filling. Okay? So that you get an idea of what is being, how it looks. And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits and he brought me through the water and the water was up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water. The water was up to my knees. And again, he measured 1,000, and he brought me through the water up to my waist. And again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? And he brought me back, he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there along the bank of the river, were very many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, this water flows from the eastern region through down into the valleys and enters into the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that everything that moves wherever the river goes will live. There will be a great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed. And everything that liveth will live wherever the water goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by at them in Gadi and Engalem. They will be placed by spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kind as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes shall not be healed, and they will be given over to salt. And along the banks of the river on this side and that will grow all kinds of trees for food, and their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. And they that bear fruit every month, and they will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. And their fruit will be food and their leaves for medicine. Now originally, we're adapting this for Grace Chapel. This kind of points to some end time ministry because the sea goes into the Dead Sea. Or the river flows into the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is healed. And it comes alive. But I am saying to you this morning is that we can apply this to our lives today. That when we are in worship and we are caught up in praise and we are caught up in our taunting, our teaching, and we are taught properly, the river will begin to flow out of here. And that river is you and I that is flowing out of here. And I will tell you, if you notice that the farther you got away from the church, the sanctuary, the deeper the water got. Both at the pool of Bethesda and at this river represents the grace of God and His power and His healing. And as we move farther away, we are moving into the darkness of this world, whether it be your work, whether it be where you eat, whether no matter where it takes you, you are moving into darkness. And that water is so deep and that is so healing that there will be miracles that will take place where you are. Remember the first verse that we read, one of the first verses said that if you know me and you have me, you will know that I taught you and what I have done, you will do more exceedingly. You will heal the sick. The blind will be seen. Demons will be cast out. We have lost that because we want to continually come back to the pool of Bethesda and camp there, and God's not moving there. He is moving in the river. He wants to flow out of here with us. I'll give you an illustration, and I think I'm going to speak this prophetically. Irene, there's going to be a day when you're going to, if you think about this, you walk out of here in that river, and you carry that with you all the way home, and you put Grant in your car as you're going up the hill. And you get up the hill, and it's a beautiful sunny day. And the neighbors are all out, and they're working in their yard. They don't have much to do with church. They're working in their yard. They're mowing. They're getting ready to grill out. But they know who you are. They know who Grant is. And it happens to be a Sunday where he's not fully cognitive to where he's at or what he's doing. And you pull in that driveway, and you have that water has flown all the way up to your neighborhood. And it's now up to knee-deep or waist-deep. You get out of the car, you open the door, and you let help Grant out, and you turn around to go unlock the door in the house. And you, when you turn back around, you can't find him. Because he's in the front yard, he's dancing, and he is shouting, and he's calling all of the neighbors by name. Why? Because he has been in the river. And you took that river with him. And those of you that are seeking healing like Jeannie is, it may be that you've got to take that river back to your apartment complex where your healing isn't going to be a private one-on-one thing. Your neighbors are going to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you've been touched by God and you're going to be healed. And that complex is not going to die and go to hell because they have seen the visible manifestation of who Jesus Christ is. When we walk in the river. This is Mission Sunday. What a better time to say that from this day on, we are all missionaries. We are in the move of where God wants us to go. I want to read in closing here something that somebody wrote, and I thought it just ties this whole thing up. We can gather a lot of revelation from this vision. Notice the river, which like the water in the pool represents the grace of God, flowing from under the sanctuary doors and becomes deeper the further we get from the sanctuary. This depicts the movement of God's presence grows more powerful as people take it, His presence into the world with them, to their businesses, to their homes, to their schools, and so forth. And notice, listen to this, that the further the saints get from the sanctuary, the deeper the grace of God penetrates the darkness. In other words, the greatest miracles and the most powerful expressions of the kingdom are destined to happen in the worst places on the planet, not inside these four walls. Right? But there's a condition to that. It is not a corporate move. It's Chick's responsibility. It's Barry's responsibility. Flo's responsibility. Ann's responsibility. Pastor Mel's. We're not doing it corporately. We are doing it because I'm going to do it. I don't care whether you do it or not. I'm going to walk in the river. You have to make that decision this morning. Are you going to walk in the river? Barry, you were sharing about speaking to some Amish people working on your son's house. One of them was accepting what you're saying. The other one wasn't necessarily accepting it. There's a river that's going to flow into your son's neighborhood. And that Amish man is going to see, not by what you say, but by a visible manifestation that's going to come out of your life. That's where God's moving this morning. Are you ready to move with Him in that light? Pastor Mel.
Amen. 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 Just